Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
At your service, it's the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It's Saturday morning. Y'all know what that means. It's time for the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am your host and director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape. Thank you all for listening. We are just a few days away from Christmas. I cannot believe that that is coming out of my mouth. Seems like it got here so fast this year. I am still, you know, in my day-to-day as a horticulturist, we are still so rapidly trying to finish up our season, and, you know, we haven't had a lot of time to look up, you know, to see that big picture, and that Christmas holiday is coming at us so fast. So we are still kind of in a rush to get all of our fall tasks done for our clients. You know, that weather a few weeks ago, we didn't work for an entire week, so we weren't able to get out into gardens and get things done that we needed to. So still playing a lot of catch up out there, still doing a lot of stuff outside. But really, this week coming up, what is crazy is those temperatures. So this week, hopefully, you know, if you guys haven't gotten your fall gardening tasks done, you'll have some time to get out there and do that work. So if you guys have any questions about anything coming up, 314-436-7900, that is the number to call. That is also the number to text. If you have any questions, you're not wanting to call in and talk on air, no problem. Just text that number, 314-436-7900. And, you know, technically tomorrow we are no longer in fall. Tomorrow is the winter solstice, for those of you paying attention. And I am one, because What that means is tomorrow is the shortest day of the year with the longest night. But after that, everything's starting to get a little brighter. Slowly but surely, our days are going to start getting longer. And that is really big for me. You know, there's just something about those days getting shorter. And, you know, when it's dark at 5 o'clock, somehow my brain says, you know, I just need to go to bed now. And I just don't get as much stuff done. I miss being outside. By the time I get off of work, you know, it's dark and I don't get to have that time outside. You know, for me, it's exercise, it's stress relief. You know, even being out there kind of in a zen state pulling weeds is nice, and it's great for your, you know, mental health and your body to keep it moving. And I already miss that, you know, with the shorter days. So looking forward to that winter solstice with the longer days. That's super, super exciting. And then we have Christmas next week. So, you know, if any of you guys are out there like also me that haven't finished up your Christmas shopping, you know, you probably need to get out there and do that. But I'm thinking a lot about, you know, the gardeners in my life right now. And if I have any other last minute gifts, maybe you do too, for the gardener in your life. You know, there are a lot of cool things out there, but I actually just renewed my membership to the Missouri Botanical Garden myself a few weeks ago. And I did see that you can give those as gifts. So if you guys have somebody that's really into plants, maybe they're not actively gardening out there, but they enjoy plants and you're, you know, close enough to the St. Louis area that makes sense. The, you know, a membership to the garden is a most excellent gift, if you ask me. You know, and then there's other things out there. You don't have to purchase things. As gardeners, I think we sometimes forget. I know that some people are better about it than others. But as gardeners, we have things that we have, you know, spent all year making, essentially, you know, like, so I like to, over the summer and throughout the growing season, you know, if I have an abundance of something, I'll dry it or make a jam or jelly. And those things from your garden make great gifts for your friends and family and other people that are into gardening. You know, and if there's anybody out there that does, you know, some seed saving from the natives in your garden, that actually is a great gift, if you ask me as well. You know, I would love nothing more than to receive a little packet of seeds from a friend or in my stocking, you know, those little seed packets, whether you saved them or you're purchasing them for the gardener in your life, that those fit very nicely into a stocking if you're needing some stocking stuffer ideas. You know, other things that gardeners might need, or if you're a gardener and people are asking you, what do you need or what do you want for Christmas? You know, I always am, always gloves are a great thing. I think I lose those or I misplace one of them and I'm always constantly looking for that other one. So, you know, I think gardeners can always use a pair of gloves. That's a great gift idea for gardeners. And books are actually a really great one, too. And I'm actually really excited to have in February. I've been trying to I've been talking with some authors of some of the gardening books and the nature books and things like that to see if we can have somebody on the show. And I have a guest coming on in February for a book called Take to the Trees. And this is a book. Basically, this lady who was a journalist and a writer in other capacities kind of fell into a love of trees and took a class to learn how to do pruning and really just an interesting book. I just ordered mine so I can read it. I started reading it and gave the book to a coworker, and then now that we know that she's coming on in February. I got to read that again and read it detailed. And I invite you all to read that book. And hopefully you guys can call in and ask questions about the book or questions about trees or join the conversation in some way. But That is a great gift guide or gift idea. Take to the trees. That's by Marguerite Holloway, by the way. So I'm excited to finish reading that. You know, and I did reach out. I think it's important to support our local bookstores. You know me, I'm always trying to support local and encouraging you all to support local. But I did reach out to Left Bank Books to see if they had any copies of it. They do have one left in stock. So if you beat me there, you can have it. But they are willing. I told them that we were going to have her in and I was going to talk about it on the radio. And they said they would order a few more copies in. So not necessarily something you could get before Christmas, unless you can find it at another bookstore. But a great gift to give or to even get so you can join our conversation with Marguerite in February. But can't wait to do that as well. But there's so many great books out there for gardeners. And again, it doesn't have to be plant related. I think so many of us that are into gardening and into plants are also into birds or into hiking or into other conservation things or foraging. So there are so many great books and so many things that you could give as a gift. And again, supporting your local bookstores is always great. And a lot of times, you know, these guys can order your books in just as easy as you go online and click add to cart. They can order something into the store for you. And that's a great way to support them if they don't have that book in stock. So another great question or present that I received last year, and it may be, you know, maybe it sounds a little childish, but I got a Lego set, and Lego has a huge, you know, variety of all of these kits that you can do, but they have a botanical set that, you know, they have things like bonsai trees or a Christmas wreath. There's a bouquet of flowers and there's really just all kinds. So I got one last year and put it together, and it was, you know, I may have to admit that I did have a middle schooler help me to put that together. You know, reading those instructions and my vision isn't as good as it used to be either. So playing with all those small parts. But that was actually a really fun, great gift for me, that little Lego set. You know, it was a fun thing to do with my niece who got the present for me. And, you know, we just had a great time. And it looks really cool. So I actually have it on a shelf now. So another great gift idea. But we'll keep talking about Christmas and gift ideas and things like that as the show goes on. But I really would like to talk to you. 314-436-7900. That is the number to call or text to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. I want to sing along to that song. It's the Christmas music, man. It's always so catchy and it gets into my ear. But I want to sing along with you, but I will spare you guys that. It's the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, your host and director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape here in St. Louis. And I'm here to answer your garden plant related questions. 314-436-7900. That is the number to call or text. You know, before the break, we were talking about Christmas gift ideas for gardeners. And, you know, I think that obviously is a relevant topic right now. We only have a few more days of shopping days before that holiday gets here. You know, I think that we've talked about this before, but winter time is actually sometimes a difficult time of year for your local garden centers and landscapers and growers, because obviously, you know, it's cold outside. We're not planting as much. We're certainly not planting perennials and annuals. So it could be that slow time in the winter can be very hard on some of our green industry businesses around town. So a great way that you can support them is always to get, you know, gift cards for your loved ones for, you know, even next season. You get them that gift card now in their stocking and they can start planning and thinking about their gardens for next year, which is also, I mean, right now, if you are a gardener, it's a great time to start thinking about what what your garden did for you this year. I mean, you know, the end of the year, beginning of the new year is often a time for us to reflect on our lives and set some resolutions and all of those things for ourselves. But really, I encourage you to think about how your garden did this year. And we also talk a lot about how the last couple of years for gardening haven't been the easiest of years for our plants, especially for establishing new plants. We've had a lot of pest and disease issues there. But, you know, right now is a great time as things are slowing down or after you get through the holidays to stop and kind of reflect on your garden and what did well, what did you do well, and maybe what didn't go so well. You know, are there some plants in your garden that are struggling that maybe you, like me, sometimes I will buy a plant and it's like on the clearance rack and I don't want to leave it on the driveway in front of my garage to die. So I'll pop it in the ground somewhere and maybe it doesn't do so great. So right now I'm kind of taking stock of what did well for me in my garden. Are there things that I want to put on my to-do list for the spring? You know, once spring gets here, it's like, you know, that's you just kind of get in a frenzy and things start happening. But right now is a great time to think about, you know, did I have some pest and disease issues, you know, over the winter time? Later in the winter, ways to help with that is, you know, doing some dormant sprays later in the winter, late winter, early spring. So starting to get your list together of what you want to do. You know, maybe there's a place in your garden that you want to redo and you need to get, if you're going to do it yourself, maybe you need to get a list together of what you're going to do and what plants you want to purchase and doodle a little design down on some paper. It's a great time of year to think about that. And if you need to get a professional involved, you know, winter time for our designers is a great time to contact them, especially if you're thinking, I really want to plant something in the spring. If you wait till the spring to contact a designer, then you might be too late and you may not get it installed this year or this upcoming spring season. So wintertime is a great time. I know a lot of us aren't thinking about our plants or our gardens. It's kind of a time that's on the back of our minds. But really, it's the perfect time to plan and to reach out to designers. Even it's not even a design. Maybe you think you want next year to have a service to come out and help you with pruning or mulching. They would be very grateful if you contacted them now or through the winter months instead of waiting until April or May to say, I need you to come out tomorrow to do a spring cleanup for me. It's a great time to get that checked off of your list and to at least get the conversation going with your landscape professional. So I definitely encourage you to do that this winter. But, you know, even if you're not going to get a professional involved, you know, I think last year around this time I was talking about my garden planner and journal, if you will. And I like to keep that around. I like to be able to jot down what plants I'm adding, jot down my thoughts on what plants I want to add. And again, it's that time to kind of journal about how your garden performed for you or getting ready to purchase some seeds. You know, those seed catalogs are coming in the mail in January, February, you know, into the early spring months. We're starting to sow a lot of seeds and, you know, having a plan for that veggie garden is even important so you can get the most out of it. We're going to go to the phone lines. We have Bunny on the line. Bunny, go ahead with your question.
Hey, Michelle, I just got a poinsettia as a gift. So what do I do with it? Should it be in the light, the dark, water, don't water?
Listen, Bunny, I would like to give you instructions, and I'm going to, but I am not really great at following my own instructions. I have a poinsettia that is on my table at home, and it's like naked from the bottom down, like the bottom 6 inches. All of my leaves fell off because I am not great at remembering to water. So here's the deal with poinsettias, though. They're very easy to care for as long as you pay attention to them. Don't do what I do and forget to water. So they don't need to stay wet. They're not looking to be watered all the time. They just need to not dry out for too long. And they'll tell you what this looks like. You can start, if you are paying attention, like I said, if they get too dry, they will just gently start curling their leaves. And that's a great indication that they want to be watered. But if you don't pay attention, you don't see that indication that they need water, they will drop those leaves really quick. So again, they don't want to be constantly wet. So every couple of days, I would just check on them and give them a drink. I would also, you know, if this is like a long-term thing you want to keep around, those poinsettias often come with that wrapper around the pot. You know, I think that's fine for short terms. But if, you know, there are some people that like to keep those poinsettias well into January or February. So if that's the case, I would definitely recommend taking that kind of packaging off. And making sure. But and then in terms of light, they definitely want to have bright sunlight. They don't do well in a non light situation. They don't really like shade. So they are okay. Native to the desert in Mexico. So
I live there in Mexico.
Yes. Yeah. So warm, bright locations. And don't overwater, but you have to water the perfect amount. No, don't overwater them, and then make sure you're watering before their leaves start curling up.
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah. And you have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Bunny. Appreciate the call. And if you guys want to ask your questions, again, the phone number to call 314-436-7900. Text us your questions. Call in with your questions. It's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. That was the song playing on the way back in, Percy the Puny Poinsettia. If you guys don't know it, it's one of my favorite. It might be my favorite Christmas song. But it's by the same people that do Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer. So it's, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek. But Elmo and Patsy is the name of the group that put that song out. But it's a cute little song about poinsettias. And since we were talking about poinsettias before the break, you got a gift of that wonderful song. And then we did get a text about poinsettias as well. So before we move off of that topic, I'll read this text. It's more of a statement than a question, so it might be helpful for you guys out there. It says, my poinsettia completely wilted down while we went to Branson for two nights. So I stick a finger in it to check moisture, which is a great way to do it. You know, there's all these moisture meters and things like that, but really you have the best tool. It's attached to your hand. Feeling around under the soil for an inch or so to see how dry it is very helpful. But they say they also missed all of the leaves and color, the leaves and colored lightly, and then it came back to life for them. So that's a great tip. It's just they don't like to fully dry out once it gets past that like wilting point. And they will bounce back if you catch it fast enough. But if you're like me, I did not catch it fast enough and it dropped. They curled up and fell right off. So we're going to go to the phone lines. We have Tom on the line. Tom, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I was wondering how I messed up my garden and how I can fix it.
Okay.
Last fall, I got about four. My garden's about 15 foot by 30 foot, to give you an idea. I put about 4 or 5 bushels of maple leaves on it and tilled it in, and a couple of bushels of horse manure, and it sat there all winter. Now, for 20 years, I've had tomatoes that look like softballs. Last year, they looked like golf balls, and they never turned red. And I had sweet corn that never got over 2 foot high, and not one stalk produced an ear of corn. So I was wondering if I messed up my garden with all that manure and leaves, and how do I undo that?
I mean, this is a great question, and it's hard to tell if it was just a soil-related problem. I think sometimes we'll do something like that, like amend our soil, and then we have a bad season for some reason or another. And we, the only thing we can think of is that thing that we did to the soil. So that is definitely a very real concern. So the only way you're really going to be able to tell if that is the cause is to do a soil test. And you can easily, you know, take a sample from your garden, take a couple of from a couple of spots in the garden, and then take it up to the extension office here in St. Louis. There's also the extension office in St. Charles County, and most counties have an extension office if you're not in one of those two. But it's relatively inexpensive. I think it's $25-$35 or something like that. And they will send off your soil to Mizzou, and then you get a nice little report back. And you could tell them it's a veggie garden, and then they will specifically test your soil and give you some recommendations for what you may need to do in order to amend it back to a different condition, or maybe it's just fine. The other thing I want to...
All right, because the only thing that did good was the weeds. They were 6 foot tall, and I couldn't keep up with them.
It was a great year for weeds. So that was my other thing, is that the weather pattern that we've been having has really caused a lot of pest and disease issues. One of those is that weeds are flourishing, because a lot of our weeds are don't care about conditions and can flourish in some of the worst conditions. And they also flourish when some of our other plants aren't doing well. So, and then that pest and disease component, we saw a lot of fungal issues. We saw a lot of mites and other insects that can affect the size of our fruit. So I think, A, we can contribute some to the weather that we're having and some pest and disease, but B, I always recommend this for gardeners. It's one of the things that we forget to do, but every two or three seasons, definitely do a soil test, especially if you think you need some amendments, but that's where I would start. And you have plenty of time to, get that off. It typically takes 2-3 weeks to get your results back, but if you do it now, you have plenty of time to get those results back and then figure out what you need to do.
All right, thank you.
Yep, good luck with that, Tom. Appreciate the call. We had another text that came in as well, so I'll read that to you guys. Somebody was mentioning we were talking about Christmas ideas, but we got a text in that says a donation to Mike Miller's GoFundMe would be a gift for somebody who doesn't need anything or need any more stuff. So it's a GoFundMe, and you can search for Mike's epilepsy on the GoFundMe. I went to the page. There was actually, I know a lot of you guys ask for updates on Mike, and we don't often have them, but it looks like his wife, Tracy, did post something back on December 17th, and it says Mike's dementia has gotten worse. He's fallen several times, and finances are stretched very thin. He was in the hospital last week. And she's asking to continue to think of them and help if you can. So sounds like that would be a great gift to that family. I know Mike did a lot for, he is the Garden Hotline. He was the Garden Hotline for 25, 30 years. And I know a lot of you out there often think about him and are asking for updates. But again, that was GoFundMe. And then you can search once you get to GoFundMe for Mike's epilepsy. If you want to do that, would be a great Christmas gift, I think, to that family. And if you can't donate, just keep him in your thoughts. Sounds like things are not great for them, and that could be helpful. So we are open. The phone lines are open. If you guys have any questions, 314-436-7900 is the number to call or text with your questions. And I just keep thinking that Percy the Puny Poinsettia song from the top of the hour is still in my head. So I thank our producer, James, for doing that for me. I'm also thinking about other things. We've been talking about poinsettias a lot. I know we often talk about our Christmas cactus a lot. And really just in general, how do we water our plants throughout the winter months? And what do these plants, our house plants and things that we brought in from outside, need to do well through the winter months? And, I am not a huge houseplant person. You guys, I talk about how I'm a lazy gardener all the time. I am great at keeping most plants alive outside, but I don't. It's one of the things when I was in college, I don't think we even had a class in our horticulture department about tropicals or houseplants. So it's not something that I know a ton about. We use some tropicals and houseplants outside in our seasonal displays for summertime. But it's something that I'm learning a lot about. I'm learning that people are really super passionate about their indoor plants. In fact, on Facebook, there's like all of these groups that are like St. Louis plant lovers. And if you're listening out there, you guys are, I mean, there's some nutty plants on there that people are swapping or selling. And, you know, plants I'm not familiar with at all. But, you know, this winter watering for your house plants and for your poinsettias and Christmas cactus is, you know, really just important. And like that text person said, that, you know, you check before you water, that you can stick your finger down into that soil and make sure that it, you know, just feel for how wet or dry it is. And if that soil is wet, in most cases, you don't need to water. And if the soil is super, super dry, then you obviously know what to do. But a lot of plants, a lot of house plants have different conditions that they like. They have different soils that they like. I think that's often a problem with our house plants is we're using just our typical potting soil that comes, you know, for your outdoor pots. But a lot of our, you know, tropicals and indoor plants want something a little bit chunkier or a little bit more sand. You know, there are a lot of different types of potting soils for your house plants. So keep that in mind with your winter house plant care. And fertilization is also a question that we get a lot. You know, should you fertilize your house plants? And I think for the most part on that, winter time is not the best time to be fertilizing most plants. You know, it's a time of not necessarily dormancy, but it's not a time of a lot of active growth for most plants. So slowing down that watering, slowing down on the fertilization, and, you know, just keeping your eye on things is really what I can tell you for those houseplants. We're going to take a break. We're going to listen to our sponsors. Then we'll be back to answer more of your questions. 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis 104.1.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, your host. And through the week, I am the director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And I run the maintenance department there, and I am pretty much in charge of anything plant-related. And I am here today to help you in your plant-related questions and concerns or comments. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text with your question. We have someone texting in and wanting to know that they have, or their question is basically they have a courtyard where they installed drainage, and the area was graded and it was covered with fabric and rocks. It's a vertical area about 8x5. It gets partial sun throughout the day. What do you suggest we plant in the area? We'd love a little color. Thanks so much. So I always question, you have some work done, you had drainage done, what kind of soil is under there is really my first question. If that was an area that was holding a lot of water previously, it's potential that, it's some compacted clay type soil. And, or they came through with that drainage and now it's really rocky and maybe they use some rock or some 1-inch clean or something through there, or they put in a French drain or something like that. And now maybe there's some drainage components and the soil profile isn't very deep. So I have a lot more questions than I can really give a good answer for. But here are some good perennials that I love. I'm going to give you perennials because, again, I don't know how deep your soil is after that drainage project, but here's some perennials. So if you guys want to get your pins ready, I'll give you a second before I name them. But I love using natives. I am not a purist myself, so not all of my suggestions will always be native related. Here's some for part shade. Some of these might need or prefer a little bit more full sun. So if there's an area around your courtyard that has a little bit more sun, some of these will work better there. But I like a heuchera is a good one. There are some native varieties. One of the reasons why I like heuchera is that it's a really great foliage plant. There are some varieties that put on a really good flower show. But heuchera is great because there are types that are very adaptive. There's some that like full shade all the way up to full sun. So you can find a heuchera for pretty much any spot, and it will take a little bit of crappier soil. Again, there are some native varieties of that for you guys out there. Phlox is another one that can take part sun, and it's a little bit taller if you get the paniculata type of the phlox. And again, this is one where there are native species of phlox and there are some cultivars but there are different colors, typically pinks and purples, whites, and they can take part shade or part sun, excuse me. They would prefer a little bit of morning sun if you can, because they get a little bit of powdery mildew and they can get a little floppy with too much morning sun. And then yarrow is a native, prefers part sun to full sun, just really doesn't care about crappy soil. If you have a full sun situation, lavender, not native, but great for a really, rocky, crappy soil, doesn't need a lot of watering. And then you also have sedums. There's all kinds of sedums out there, which are like a nice ground cover. There are types of sedums that are more perennial and upright. And then coneflower, also a great option for part shade to full sun. And they also can tolerate different soil types. And again, native, that's a good one for pollinators. But those are some options. Certainly not all the options that are out there, but that is a good start for you. I hope some of those are interesting to you. We are going to go to the phone line. We have Peg on the line. Peg, go ahead with your question.
Michelle, I was listening to your talk this morning, and you were talking about it's not too early to think about spring. And I have a hydrangea on a hillside that I'm looking at, and it's been very sad for a couple years. Can hydrangeas grow on hillsides, or should I be moving this poor little baby to another spot?
This is my aunt, everybody. Thanks for calling, Aunt Peg. How are you?
I'm fine.
You
good
know,
to hear you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you for calling. And I know exactly what hydrangea you are talking about. And your hydrangea should be fine up there on the hill. They actually don't mind being planted on a hill. Do you know, is that the one that blooms? It's got pink or blue blooms on it. It's a big leaf hydrangea.
Well, it didn't bloom last year. That's my worry.
So you're up north. My Aunt Peg lives in Michigan. So one of the things that I would think could be a concern for you and not getting bloom is your colder temperatures in the spring. So those types of hydrangeas will set their flower buds right now. They will have their flower buds on them at the moment if they did well. And then they bloom early in the spring. So if you get a late frost or a late freeze in the springtime, then that really can affect your flowering. And then if that's only been in for a couple of years, it could take 2 to 3 years for it to really get established and do well. You know, we always try to tell people to be patient when they plant new things. But if it doesn't perk up for you and start having some new growth, you might check other things like the soil that is around it. You might check to see what depth you have it planted. Sometimes if the plant is planted a little too low, that can affect its growing. So, but I'm happy to look at it next time I'm there.
Well, I would be happy to have you visit too.
I hope you guys are staying warm up there. All right. Merry Christmas, Peg. We got to go to a break, guys. This is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back to our second hour of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, your host, and I am here at your disposal to answer all of your garden and plant-related questions. Give us a call or text 314-436-7900, and let's have a conversation about what's going on in your yard. Before the break, my aunt called from Michigan asking about her hydrangea. And, you know, after that phone call, I really was thinking about, you know, my aunts and my family's, you know, my love of horticulture, my love of plants comes directly from my family members on both my mother and father's side of the family. We have some very avid gardeners. My Aunt Peggy, her mother, my grandmother, Ruth Ellen, was a spectacular gardener. And I remember her even out in our little small garden at my childhood home. And one of my favorite memories with her, it was a kind of horrific as a child, but we used to have a lot of garter snakes in our garden. And when I was a small child, she hated snakes, and I watched her kill a snake and was horrified as a child, and never looked at Ruth Ellen the same. But she was always out in the garden, and you know, her children are, a lot of them are gardeners, including my Aunt Peg, who called in. She has a lovely yard and always has beautiful potted plants, and my Aunt Julie was a gardener as well, owned a landscaping company, and that was a big influence on me. And then on my mother's side, we have farmers. My grandfather was a farmer, and a couple of my uncles were farmers, and I grew up in their massive vegetable garden as a kid, running through the rows and getting in trouble for picking things that weren't ready to be picked, and you know, eating myself sick on fresh cucumbers when they were ready. But very big history of gardening in my family, and very clear where I get the passion for plants and for horticulture. So it was good to hear her voice, and I am ready to hear someone else's voice. We have Walter on the line. Walter, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, it's a little early for thinking about spring planting, but I've got a problem with my tomato plants. I got a cage that I grow them in, so the squirrels don't eat them. So they're in a spot that I can't really move them. But I put them in. I usually get aphids, and I spray, and I get rid of them, and then they grow fine for about half a season, and then they start dying from the bottom up. The leaves start curling up and burning up, and the tops keep going fine, and it just works its way up till it finally kills the plant. But I don't know. It does it every year, and I don't know if there's anything I can do about it.
This is a great question. I'm not like a huge knowledge of tomato related issues, but I will tell you, number one, I am having next month on somebody who is really good at gardening. And we're going to talk a lot about vegetables and starting vegetables and growing vegetables. But I do, one of the things that that tomatoes can have an issue with is a blight, is a fungus. And that really starts on the leaves. It tends to start on those lower leaves and work itself up. And there's also another leaf spot that they get. But some of these are a soil-borne fungus. So if that is what's going on, then that is in your soil, and you may need to do something to either eradicate that soil, or sometimes there are drenches that you can do in your soil. And, you know, I know that some people aren't big on, and you probably shouldn't be, chemicals in your garden. So so that might be it. So I would look into blight, tomato blight, or leaf blot. Sometimes the blossom end rot affects, is it affecting the fruit at all?
Yeah.
So that could be a thing, as it's called blossom end rot, but those types of things are nutrient deficiencies. So it could be that as well. It could be that something in your soil is off. So
would
you can
soil test.
Yes.
Show anything about the blight or
correct.
Or,
yes. So if you
would?
Do, yep. So you'll need to, you'll have to pay an extra fee, but if you take your soil up to the extension office and say that you think you may have some fungal issues going on in your soil and you just want a regular nutrient check as well, I think the fungal test is probably an extra $15 or something like that for the follow-up test. But you can tell them the issues that you've been having and tell them that you're trying to specifically grow tomatoes, and they'll send that test off and they can test it for more than just nutrient deficiencies.
Okay, that'd be great. Okay, thank you very much. And this tomato guy is going to be on?
Yeah, he'll be here in I think January. We haven't figured out a date just yet, but it'll be sometime in January.
I listen every week, so
okay.
I'll catch him.
Perfect. Sounds great.
Right.
Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thanks for that call. And all the calls today have been great. We're going to go to a text that I got. I think this is really relevant right now. I actually had this question from a client yesterday, because we were finishing up our last bulb install, happened yesterday. I don't have an excuse. It's just the weather and everything, but it isn't next week's weather. The question is it too warm to plant the bulbs outside this week? And my answer to you is no, it's actually great. I was going to mention this on air, that if you have your box or bag of bulbs that you have neglected to plant or haven't got them in the ground, or maybe you got some on the clearance rack like I do, it is definitely not too late to get them in the ground, and it is not too warm. In fact, you know, in the last few weeks, we've had a lot of time where our soil has been frozen and hard to work, so it hasn't been great for bulb planting. But this week coming up, the soil is going to be workable and very, very able to plant those bulbs. You know, bulbs will need, especially our spring bulbs that we're planting now, the spring blooming bulbs that we plant in the fall, need to be outside as long as possible. We typically try to get them done before Thanksgiving. Again, they just need some time underground in that cold, and then they'll emerge in the spring. So this warm weather that's coming up is not bad for bulb planting. In fact, it's a great opportunity for those of you who haven't planted your bulbs yet to get out there and do it. This is also going to be a great week for planting in general. You know, this is above average temperatures coming up, with Christmas going to be 75 degrees. So It's almost a little bit of a gift that we have, you know, this time available for planting. The soil is going to be highly workable in the next week or so as these temperatures are in the 50s and 60s and now 70s. So it's a great time to get outside and do some planting. If you have, you know, shrubs or trees that you still want to get in the ground, you know, it's still a great time for tree planting, especially evergreens. So if you have the inclination, it's a great time. And again, a lot of our local nurseries have some really excellent plant sales still going on. So if you... I mean, that's your Christmas present. Maybe you buy somebody a tree and then help them plant it this week. So it's a great, great time for planting bulbs and trees. If you have bulbs, I would, you know, you want to try to get them in the ground as soon as possible. I have planted some tulips in January before, and they came out a little bit later than they were intended to come out, but they still came out. So I would definitely say try to get them done as soon as possible, but plenty of time for your bulb planting. We are going to take a quick break. If you guys have questions for me, 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, your host and Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape, here answering your garden and plant-related questions. You know, we have another text on that came in, and this question is, can I thin out my irises this week? I'm trying to get perennials to be transplanted bare root in late winter. So, yeah, I think you can definitely clean up your irises this week. You know, getting some of those older or the parts that are browned out and flopping out, you could definitely get those cleaned up. You know, some people like to cut those back to a few inches. If you wanting to dig them up and store them right now for spring planting, also fine to do. So definitely plenty of time this week with the temperatures the way they are to get that done. So we are going to go straight to the phone lines now. We have Roseanne on the line. Roseanne, welcome to the show. What's your question?
I received herbal seeds in like a hydroponic system for Christmas, and I'm wondering what kind of a grow light you would recommend to put them under.
That is a good question. I haven't done a lot of that hydroponic growing stuff, but I know there's a lot of cool like growing towers and systems, small and large, that people are using and having on their, you know, on their kitchen counters or even some of the bigger ones. But yeah, grow lights, there's, you know, all kinds of them out there. There's even some that you can get at like your local hardware store has them. And I don't have like a particular brand or anything that I use. I don't actually, I'll tell you what I have down in my basement for my seedlings to just start is I just have regular old tube lights, like fluorescent tube lights down in my basement. That's not good for them to grow on, but it's perfectly fine for getting your seeds to start. But as far as other grow lights go and what kinds, you know, like you definitely need to make sure that you're getting one that's you know, that can cover the entire area. You know, like there are some that are just a single light that's going to like just shine directly onto your plant. And depending on how big the area is and how much you want to cover, you just want to make sure that you're that you get one that's large enough for the application. And then the other thing that people often do is put them too far away from the plant material. You know, they need to be closer than you think. I mean, obviously, we don't want them touching. But in order for them to be effective, you know, getting them close, I would say, you know, like there aren't, I don't, like, again, I don't have a brand or specific type that I use, but I always recommend getting, you know, ordering from Amazon, just some random stuff, you know, the cheap stuff from Amazon that's going to get here in 2 days is probably not the way that I would go. I would make sure that I am getting it from a nursery center or garden center or someplace that actually, like, you know, even, you know, your big box stores probably carry some. Just making sure that you're getting one that's a good quality grow light and not getting, you know, the cheapo depot ones from you know, Amazon or something like that. I believe the one that I have at my house, if I'm remembering correctly, the brand is called Lumen King, L-U-M-E-N King. That's what I bought last year. But that has worked very well for me for my actual grow lights. And again, I have a seed starting station down in my basement. And I just have, like, you know, shop lights that have regular bulbs in them. And that seems to be enough to getting your seeds to germinate and getting them to the stage before I put them in a larger pot. But just make sure you get what you pay for. So make sure you just get a good brand.
Is there a store in St. Louis that does hydroponic gardening?
There probably is. I'm drawing a blank, but a good place that I like to start is OK Hatchery in Kirkwood. And if they don't have it, they can get it. And if they can't get it, they will tell you where to get it. I think that's a great start. They have so many seeds. They have so many growing things. They have so many garden tools and pesticides and fertilizers and pretty much anything you could possibly think of for your garden. And they're really knowledgeable. So it's a great starting point, I think, for sure.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Good luck to you. Yeah, I mean, growing, guys, it's a whole other ballgame. And the hydroponic stuff is super interesting to me. I know a lot of people that do it. I know a lot of our, you know, our little microgreens that we eat for salads are all grown hydroponically these days. So a very interesting topic and a great thing to learn about. And maybe I'll find somebody that can come in and chat with us about that hydroponic growing in the future. That could be a cool topic for us. And really, you know, I don't know everything about every plant and everything out there. So if you guys have a topic that you are interested in, you can always contact me and I can try to find us guests and speakers to come in here and tell us about different things out in the gardening world. You can contact me or follow me on Facebook or Instagram is at STL Plant Nerd on both of those platforms or find me on the Pointer Landscape website and give me an email that way. But again, I don't know everything. One of the things I love about gardening and about being in this community is how much there still is for me to learn. You know, like there's never an ending point on learning about plants or animals or anything that's even remotely close to being associated with, you know, plants and the outside world. There's just so much to learn. And, you know, part of this show is, you know, getting to talk to different people that know things that I don't know or know about things. So I mentioned earlier, we're going to have somebody in here in January to talk about vegetable gardening and, you know, getting some seeds started this January and February for our gardens. I know a lot of you guys have a lot of questions about food related growing. That is something that I am actively learning about every year and learning more and more. So love to get an expert in here to talk to us about that. You know, I don't know everything. I'm happy to tell you I don't know everything, but I am a huge fan of learning and growing and talking to other plant people. So again, if you guys have any thoughts or a specific topic that you want us to cover in the coming months, just, you know, let me know. And I have another text that came in. It says, I have a ton of excess plants. I'd like to move to another yard. Liriope, hosta, some woody volunteers, but currently the yard is chigger infested. You know, they're just basically wanting to know what can be done and if they can be transplanted as bare roots. And the answer, I think, is some of those yes. I'm reading back over your list, things like the liriope and hosta for sure can be bare root transplanted. And essentially what that means is you're going to cut back as much of that foliage as you can, leaving a little bit of it, and then you're removing some of that soil or most of the soil and cleaning all of that off before transplanting. So that's always an option for a lot of perennials, can take that kind of action. You know, I know that there's a lot of, I don't know the life cycle of a chigger. That's actually a good question and maybe something to research. But a lot of times when we're dealing with infestations of different types of insects, learning that life cycle and how they reproduce is a great way to learn how to control them, because that's your other option if you do have an infestation of chiggers, is how can we get rid of them, either naturally by changing the conditions, changing what they like. If we can change that and they don't like it anymore, they can potentially stop reproducing in that area. You know, there are natural chemicals that we can use, like neem oil, that are a great insecticide, that are more natural. Again, when you use an insecticide to kill a bad bug, you're killing a good bug. But if you have an infestation of something, sometimes it is the only option for you is to do that. If you are going to do chemically, definitely read the label. But that's kind of your other option. And then, you know, we're in the winter months right now, so hopefully the plant or the bugs have gone dormant. Some of them will die off, but their eggs will probably persist. So if you do have that problem and you're trying to do the bare root route, it was hard to say, bare root route, then, you know, making sure you get those really clean before you transplant them, because those can transfer to other things. I think there's other solutions that you can spray on your bare roots even after you get it cleaned off. You know, I think that a lot of people use the peroxide diluted to do pest removal. You can also use that as a natural drench for your soil. So there's options other than completely having to do bare root transplanting. But that is also fine as well. I mean, a lot of times when you're buying plants online, they come as bare root plants for you to put out in the garden. So definitely an option. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll answer more of your questions. 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline on 1041 KMOX.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm really into the Christmas music today. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am your host today and your plant nerd here to answer all of your garden and plant related questions. Give us a call or text 314-436-7900. We got a couple of segments left to answer your questions. And then sadly, we'll have to part ways for the day. We got a text that came in. I like the question. It's something that I am learning about and did a little bit of last winter. And it's a question about tubers for dahlias. And the question says, I'm overwintering dahlia tubers for the first time. I'm using wood shavings to keep them in and a cooler and storing them in a cooler place. What humidity level do I need to keep them to prevent them from shriveling or getting moldy? That question was from Kermit. So as far as dahlias go, I'm not an expert, but last year I did a little bit of research because I purchased some dahlias and grew them for the first time last summer. So, you know, the dahlias are great. They don't always, some varieties you can keep in the ground and do like you do some other of our tender, you know, like a banana tree or canna lilies, where if you keep them in the ground and keep them well mulched, then some of them will come back the next year. But a lot of, if not most of our dahlias that we grow do better and most definitely cannot freeze and need to be taken out of the soil and then stored over the winter. So, you know, there's all kinds of, you can do your research and read about, you know, ways to store dahlias. And just like everything else garden related, if depending on who you ask, there's 1,000 ways to do it. But this is how I did it with great success. Last year, you know, when I dug them up, which you obviously should have done a while ago, and if not, you're probably got frozen, mushy tubers out in the ground, is that you dig them out of the ground. Some people leave the soil on and then maybe just put them in a little plastic grow pot or something over the winter and keep them that way. And then other people will dig them out of the ground and get all of that dirt off of them, wash them off and get them really clean. You know, I think people have success doing it both ways. The way that I did it, and it sounds like the way that this person did, is they cleaned them off and they brought them inside for storage. You know, a lot of these tubers need to lay out after you dig them, get them cleaned off and let them dry out for a day or two before you put them into your storage medium. But basically you pick a spot that can keep them cool. You don't want them too warm, because if you keep them too warm in storage, they'll start to sprout. And if they get too cold, they will freeze and become too mushy, and you'll lose them in that way. So there's a lot of different ways or different things that you can put them in. This person said that they put them, I believe, in wood shavings, which is a great option, or newspaper. Some people, like I said, leave the soil around them. You can use like a vermiculite, or there's all kinds of other things. The important thing is that we need to keep airflow to these as well. So we want to have airflow, and we want to also keep them from drying out and not really watering them. So you have to keep the humidity up. So the question that this person asked was, what do you keep the humidity at? And I think that there's a range of humidity that works best, but I think the average is around 85 degrees is what you want to keep it at. And that's pretty high humidity. And, you know, it's hard to do in your house. It's a really high humidity for your house, and it's a high humidity for a cold storage area, such as your basement, or if you have like a heated garage that you can keep them in, because you're going to want to keep them, you know, around 40-ish degrees, I would say, around 40 degrees over the winter time. So some place that's cool, but not going to freeze. You can't let it dip much lower than that. And then you need airspace and you need that humidity. So some people, I have heard of them putting just like wet, some wet newspaper in there from time to time. Not a lot. You don't want these to rot out and get really wet. Too wet, they're gonna get rot. They're gonna get fungal issues in there. And you know, some people will actually have them in containers. I don't know if you guys are familiar with bulb crates, but a lot of our bulk bulbs will come in these big plastic, almost like a milk crate, but they're shorter and longer. So some people store their tubers in there because it's a lot of ventilation that's going through that medium that you're leaving it in. And then some people will have a humidifier in their storage area. And if that's not an option, like I said, some wet newspaper from time to time, again, not a lot, or misting with a little hand sprayer, your growing medium is a way to keep it from drying out. So, and again, I honestly don't know how you would measure. I'm sure there's some kind of gadget that measures humidity. I did not measure mine. I just checked on mine about once a month to make sure they hadn't gotten too dry over the winter and making sure the temperature was where it needed to be. And, you know, different dahlias are totally different. Like I said, there are some that you can leave out in your garden. They're fine. There are some that you could leave on your potting bench in the basement or in the garage all winter, and they're fine. And then there are other types that are super finicky that if they get dried out, they will shrivel up and will no longer be productive for you. But I think really with any kind of thing that you're trying to overwinter, tubers and things like that, just checking on them once a month and making sure that they aren't getting moldy or rotting out. And again, a little bit of moisture, a little spritz with a hand sprayer goes a long way in that situation. So I'm going to try to read another text here. With the warm weather coming in, would you advise treating the grass with a fertilizer, winterizer, or is it too late to treat? You know, I love these turf questions. And I always wish that I had a friend here with me to answer them. We have had Spectrum in, Spectrum Lawn Care from St. Charles is a great company. And then we, of course, have Glenn Kramer, who is a huge friend of the show, comes on from G.R. Robinson Seed. These are your guys that you should ask. You know, you can give Glenn Kramer a call, but typically, you know, I think that winterization is done by this point in the year, but we do have some warmer weather. So, you know, you might have a decent opening this week to get some of that down. Again, I think if you really want to have a definite answer, maybe reach out to Glenn Kramer. He could also supply you with whatever fertilizer or seed that you might need to complete that project. So, you know, it's, I think I if I'm going to continue talking to you guys every week, I'm going to need to, you know, take a class on turf, or maybe I'll get a side hustle at a lawn company so I can learn how to answer these questions better for you. But again, we will have Kevin or Glenn back on here soon. I know that we'll have to wake these gardens up in the springtime, and we'll need to know what we're doing for our springtime to keep our grass looking good. So just know that somebody will be in here to answer your lawn related questions late winter, early spring. So that I know some of you guys really want to keep your lawns looking good, and I hear you. I just know about the pretty flowers. We're going to go to another text. It says, "Hi, Michelle. My name is Sherry. Question, should I let the sage and lavender deal with the natural elements without covering? Do you have to cut up the leaves and use as mulch? Thank you. Do I have to?" It says. So I have both lavender and sage in my garden, and the sage I leave alone. I cut that throughout the year as I need to use it. I did harvest a lot of sage at the end of the season, right before the last frost. So that gave it a bit of a haircut. And then I like to leave mine alone, my sage alone, until, you know, late in winter, as I start cleaning things up. You know, leaving the top of these plants offers a little bit of protection throughout the winter. And then the lavender, as far as the lavender goes, you know, it is recommended that you give it a light haircut going into fall. But again, these are some that, you know, a little bit of protection over the winter is great. Lavender is notorious in our area for not always making it through the winter, not being super reliable in those ways. In fact, I was just reading an article about a local lavender grower that was talking about how much time they spend in the springtime replanting the lavender that doesn't make it through the winter here. But as far as using the clippings as a mulch, you know, you can or cannot, you know, you don't have to do that. You can, you know, leave it be and let it act as a mulch. You can also stick it in your composter or your compost pile and let it turn into compost. But, you know, these are sage for me. Sage is like one of the, you know, lowest maintenance plants that I own. I have mine in a raised container with a bunch of other herbs. And I don't fertilize it. I can't remember the last time that I even, you know, put anything in that raised bed, but it's doing fine. It's an easy one. It's a good one for beginner gardeners. We're going to take a break. We have one segment left to answer your question. 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
This is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We are back, sadly, to our final segment of the Garden Hotline. I'm your host, Michelle Reeser-West, Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And I'm here for the next couple of minutes answering your final questions of the show, 314-436-7900. You might be able to sneak in a text or a quick call. We were talking before the break about dahlias and tubers, and we got a couple of texts over the break about that. And I just wanted to kind of follow up on that conversation that we were having. You know, I mentioned humidity, and that's a big thing for keeping our tubers nice and humid so they don't dry out. And that I didn't know how to actually measure humidity, but somebody texted in and said a humidity gauge is what we will need, and it's called a hygrometer, H-Y-G-R-O. And that helps with measuring our humidity for those situations. And another text said, I don't know about airflow, but I received some dahlia bulbs last March that grew perfectly. And the person had them wrapped in plastic wrap, like a saran wrap for overwintering. And again, this is what I was saying. You know, there are so many people that have so many different techniques, which is one of the great things about gardening. But yeah, I've heard of that too, that people will wrap in saran wrap. I think that that's a way to keep moisture in. For me, I, you know, if it's wrapped up like that, I can't see it. And I'm not, you know, I think a lot of growers and things that can, if you can control your environment easier, where you have a controlled situation where you're knowing that your temperature is going to stay exactly at 40 degrees and your humidity is going to stay at exactly what you set it at, then having, you know, like that saran wrap situation is probably really great. I am a novice in storing tubers and things like that. So having a container that is open where I can easily kind of push aside whatever I have them growing in, the peat moss or wood shavings or whatever, that I can easily, you know, pull those aside and inspect those tubers. Not that you can't do that with saran wrap, but, you know, having to unwrap all of that in order to check on it. But yeah, certainly I've gotten a lot of plants that, or tubers. In fact, some of the tubers, the dahlias that I ordered showed up, in that manner as well, wrapped in the saran wrap. So, great question, great conversation. I know that, you know, overwintering things is often a topic of conversation here. And I have another text that says, I got a zygo cactus, Christmas cactus with red blooms. Any suggestions for watering amount, light, etc.? The person who gave it to me said she had one for years. Thanks so much. Again, Christmas cactus, I love them. Another childhood memory of mine, my grandmother always had a Christmas cactus. She had one that she had for years and years and years. In fact, my mother has a part of that plant that was taken from my grandmother's plant, and all of our family members have a piece of that plant and have had it for years and years. This is a house plant that is easy to take care of and often can last years and years and stick around with very little care. You know, I always say with these Christmas cactus, the word cactus in the name is also often misleading for people. You know, we think of cactus as not needing too much water, or, you know, that they are able to dry out. But in fact, a Christmas cactus is a tropical cactus that does need more water. So I tend to water mine once a week and go that route. And again, using your finger to check the moisture, you do want to let it dry out between waterings, but it doesn't want to sit in water all the time, but definitely more regular than a typical cactus. That's going to do it for our show. It's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. Thanks for listening, everyone. Merry Christmas. I hope it's a good one. Thanks for listening.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.